Act two.
All right.
Okay.
We're here after dark. There are no rules.
Except.
No hate speech, but that's always it. A rule.
That's always a rule.
Yeah. We'll just punch you off for that. I don't think we need to say that. All right. So, if you feel like you want to share something with After Dark, now is the time.
Yes.
All right. So, we're going to be taking calls. It's basically like a return engagement section. We're not doing multiple rounds. We're just doing straight through.
One round.
Here we go. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
Warmer than a fresh batch of my mom's pies. It's World Poetry Open Mic After Dark. That's hot.
Man. My mom's pies. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Thing.
For anybody who doesn't know, that was a reference to back in the day when we started. There was a hilarious commercial for My Mom's Pies, which is a place here in Colorado. And it was on the old radio station we were on, and yeah. It was just...
It's a really good bakery, by the way.
Is it really good?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah. I bet, and it sounds like it was great. Actually, a lot of people really did like it. I remember hearing that now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the commercial, without really intending, I don't think it was intended because I don't think they had that subtlety. They didn't have that subtlety at the station. It was pretty straightforward. But the hilariously enough, the commercials were just came across so suggestively, and it's just kind of absurd, actually. You know?
Yeah. Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
I saw that Mama was trying to call back in.
Okay.
So. Mama, if you can hear the broadcast, you are right after Mary.
Yeah, so...
So we'll just take you live. Don't worry.
Totally. Okay. And we'll remind as we're getting close to just to get ready, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. So we got some great poets lined up. We got six.
Yeah.
This is going to be good. All right. First of all, in the after dark, let's wander around through the dark, just feeling random things. It's hard to tell who is who, but I have a feeling this is Philip.
It is. It's Philip. You know what he's doing? He's rehearsing.
He's rehearsing.
Now, actually, you don't want to know. I've dropped a load in my pants.
Whoa!
ready for that.
It's after dark.
Well,
you've cured my erectile dysfunction. I'm ending up straight now. At attention.
All right. That is one thing I've never been accused of, Philip. So that's a first.
Of what? I'm sorry. What are you
curing people, someone else's erectile dysfunction?
Oh, yes, right. I know, right. I'm well.
Michael Amade, human Viagra. You know, that's
it's just my weird world. Everybody's neutered, as far as I'm concerned. Everybody walks around like Ken and Barb. Well, not Barbie dolls. That's not quite fair, because that's Anyhow, I'm.
I get the point. I totally get what you're saying,
yeah.
Actually. Yeah.
Right? Everybody's like an angel. There's no, gender is something that's a social construct, and, everything else is biology. I don't know. I have no idea.
You know what? It's the moment that I started teaching at a Catholic school. I went from a place of the absolute opposite of that to going directly to that, what you're describing. The moment I actually did, I suddenly said, nope, actually, this is very straightforward. Nobody has that side of their personality. We're just going to be straightforward right now. And it stayed that way. And I think it makes sense in that environment. Absolutely, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think also, too, I tend to, I'm much more intrigued by minds as opposed to bodies. Which,
absolutely.
I know. It's that internal thing. But alas, I'll get to it, sir, because you guys have had a long night. This is like, the third segment, and... Thank you for three times of a chance to read a poem.
You got
poems.
It.
All right. This one's titled short, and we'll test it out. It's kind of a new one. Extemporaneous Cynicism on Rye. And here we go. Soul remains popular among the masses, as if quoting from winter holiday quarterlies. Guiding bipartisan constituents with the attitude of shepherds gathering lost lambs throughout eternity or until spring's fleece, when the frigid air smells of insecticide dips and freshly spilled blood. axe handles splintered on wolf carcasses hacked up for some gamey meat and overwrought virulent symbolism. Choices mocked by John Calvin. Gamblers who insist on predetermination when they're winning big or small. Discontinuing all debts unless real objects, including widgets, can be counted less than placeholders, indicative of nothing, naught, or nil. Embracing nonsense like zealots do their belief system monopolies. Cartels championing Machiavelli, which, prima facie, seems consistent, unlike American drug czars, who are arguably incompatible with our beloved democracy. No complaints, though. Too busy working insufferable wages, stuffing neutered jacks into colorful crank boxes. Old generals talking resurrection propaganda to their darling little toy soldiers. Reciting nursery rhymes written by enamored pedophiles. Formal, casual, it's a choice between one's momentary attire, last season's threadbare sacred, or this year's fashionable profane. And there it is.
Some really solid points in there, man. I was listening, kind of like nodding my head. Yep, I agree. I agree with that. That's it.
He doesn't write erotica. He writes just things that are disturbing. He disturbs you.
But it's disturbing in a way that you just kind of look at and go, no, that's real. Yeah, that's straightforward. Yeah.
I appreciate that, man. You know, because before, I'd rather be provocative than disturbing. But you know, you can't beggars can't be choosers. So I'll take whatever I can get.
Well, I think I think it's one of the things that like stand-up comedians do. I remember hearing someone say that stand-up comedians are more rock stars now than rock stars are. And they're kind of doing that. They're being provocative by just telling people where they're at and what mm-hmm. they're doing. And I think kind of what was happening just then was you're actually saying things that are very real, but yet it's provocative in the way that you're just saying it, you know, and I think that's useful.
And I really appreciate that. And gosh, you guys keep bringing me back time and again. I'm addicted to world poetry, Ip and Mike.
We're like heroin of internet poetry radio shows. So it's a real niche.
The first one's free.
And starting tomorrow, it's 1,000 points. I don't even know what those mean. 1,000 points.
It's good with me, sir. I'm down.
So all right.
I appreciate it. Cheers. Thank you so much, and I look forward to hearing the other poets read their seductive lines.
All right. We appreciate you, Philip. Thank you so much.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. And that was Philip calling from Kentucky, land of the sexiest enamel-footed bathtubs you've ever seen. That was
weird. Oh, it was weird.
I know. I don't really know what to say.
It's okay.
Hey, let's go to Stan in Alabama. Right. Hey, Stan, you're on the air. Oh.
Oh, there he
Stan.
Is. He's there.
All right. Stan, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. You're on the air, man. How you doing?
I love to hear it when he gets into one of those like that.
I know. It's great, isn't it?
The thing is, it's such a, like he said, it's disturbing, but it's enlightening at the same time. And he puts it off with just this beautiful, calm, easy manner.
Oh, yeah.
You almost don't see it coming until it hits you. And then you go, what?
Yeah. Well, I think
and then it's just, hey, too late.
Well, it's wordplay, too. And I think that's the thing that's cool, because he's not trying to club you over the head with how serious he is while he's reading it.
I know. Well, I decided, since it is after dark, and this I'm using because I've decided it would be a good time to do this one. I think I might have done this before, but it was some time back. But I figure, since a little of its language is a little pushy for the younger audience that might have been listening earlier, I would go ahead and do it now.
All right.
And this is called Complex Shun, which is COMPLEX/SHUN. taking some time for a moment's reflection. We've had a series of historic elections. Though it might cause some social contention, I think it's time for me to mention. I've seen the rage and the frustration in most every generation, struggling with the same old contemplation. Why is there so many complications between politicians and corporations? Well, being of an older generation, while still in search of an explanation, tried transcendental meditation with a little herbal alteration, which totally fucked my concentration. But on coming down from that elevation, I happened upon a revelation, which I'll share with you all as a consolation. You see, with a greed-driven determination and some Madison Avenue imagination, it's politicians and corporations which create and further these complications. Why? Why? Why to give rise to justifications for their bullshit rationalizations? With an assist in media manipulations, they aid and abet us in our self-segregation. How better to control the population of our nation? Until we, the people, come to the realization, they offer little in true explanations and rely too damn much on their own fabrications. But hey, that's just this old madman's observations. Or is it? And
no, it is not.
Like I said, up the rebels.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's 100% the right thing. I mean, it's funny. I was thinking about it the other day, and I saw a clip of an interrogation, or not an interrogation, but a hearing on the Equifax stuff. And so I remember presenting the facts to a kid, a third grader. I go, tell me what you think. This is just a mystery. It's not real. I'm just going to throw it out there. And I gave him all the facts of the Equifax leak and basically how they're going to start profiting off of it in a year and everything. And he goes,
oh, yeah.
He goes, oh, they're just playing a trick on people to be able to take their money. And I'm like, mm-hmm. It's funny how it's so hard for us to figure that out.
You know?
I mean, sure, the stuff might have been stolen, but it's one of those things where they're going to make so much money off this per year, kicking in next year, something they caused. Over and over again. It doesn't matter where you look. It's always the same kind of thing.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. It's like the whole damn thing. And I do not just fault the Republicans or Democrats. Mm-hmm. I fault both sides.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
George Bush had his bailout, over $700 billion. To companies because of their mismanagement that got in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Turn around and Barack Obama offers his incentives, a.k.a. bailouts, and many of the same damn companies that had their hand out with George had their hands out with Barack.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing more than corporate welfare. The whole purpose of a capitalist system is if your system, if your company fails, falters, you do not maintain, you do not keep up with the trends, you do not keep up with technology, and you fall to the wayside, that makes room for new entrepreneurs with new ideas to step forward and take up the slack.
That's it.
It is designed for companies to fail. There was never in the capitalist system an idea of a company being too big to fail.
and it's ridiculous. But then again, that's also the thing that I see it, and it's funny to watch. And then I start thinking about, then again, let's think about the fallen societies in South America. Let's just realize, even these big companies will pass. Kodak went flat out of business. And 18 months before or 18 months before Instagram was bought by for $700 some million by Facebook. So I mean,
right.
No one saw that coming. I'm looking forward to seeing. I predict today, and this is an official thing. I predict that within 20 years, Walmart's going out of business. Within 20 years from now, And I hope it's sooner.
They're just going to play it out, and it's just going to finally reach the end where people are just going to look and say, no.
I think they're going to get totally, they're going to get disrupted and destroyed. Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. I'm looking forward to watching it too. But
I had a lot, I had a lot of actual admiration for Sam Wall himself.
Sure, sure, yeah.
Because this was a guy who would actually source his stores from that area, from local manufacturers and things.
Absolutely.
And he would bring those products into his store locally. So the small businessman and stuff in the area could still maintain and go.
I totally buy that.
But when the family took over it, it was China, 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 China.
Yep, that was it.
Yep, I agree. 100%.
Well, gentlemen, I'm going to turn this over to the next in line.
That wasn't really after dark of it, was it? We just started.
That's okay.
Hopefully something a little more pleasurable and
yeah, I know.
We
just,
okay.
We're just kind of going off. And another thing.
And another thing.
Hey, thanks, Dan. That was great, man. Really, really appreciate everything.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right.
See you later.
We'll talk to you next time, okay? And that was Stan calling from Alabama. He's doing some great work tonight, man.
Yeah.
That's just awesome. All right. We know there's a new piece coming. Let's go to
Barbara.
Barbara in Connecticut.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Barbara. How's it going?
Well, it's considering that I'm using two kinds of technology tonight to figure out how to keep, you know, up with this. It's, you know, not
just
bad.
Variables. Yeah, I understand.
Hey, Barbara, I'm running like three.
Yeah,
To
be fair, we actually have like
engineer. I'm just, you know,
we got like five things going on
here. On my computer.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
And also, listening to the conversation was really good because I agree with everything. So it's all, you know, a lot of garbage, and I don't want to go through that. After Dark always means erotica to me. I mean, so when I write an After Dark poem, it's always erotic. So this is called, and this is, I guess, yeah, about, anyway, you'll see. Okay. Get ready.
Oh, I'm ready.
After dark thoughts. After dark, my thoughts wander and imagine fingers skipping over the hills and valleys of my body, finding places to linger and bring dream lips, giving butterfly kisses, spreading all over until they ignited the inmost core of my being. And yet the fingers and lips move ever closer to my lips below. And they smile to accept the offering and give back the gift of the wave of passion bestowed upon them by the force of the thoughts in my head. Imagining your presence, my phantom lover, your wandering digits crossing the line to my opening lips and entering the realm of the sanctuary of my utmost desire, teasing and coaxing with your tender caresses and bringing all you have into this space as wet as a secret cavern hidden from view in a lazy lagoon where you can spend all of your time coming closer to my essence, the ecstasy of our passion igniting the spark that will bring the waterfall of satisfaction as you find the key to my secret door. And we exist only for each other in that sacred moment. Very few get to achieve in a hazy world created after dark, under the covers, as I explore alone with my fantasies on myself. End poem. And there you have it, my after dark.
It's so very metaphorical. I really have to say, I don't really know what you're talking about, but Barbara, that was fantastic. Wonderful
that's
job.
I call erotica.
You know, okay, so it's funny. Right. As a side note, I'm just going to throw this out. I was once told by my friends, this friend of mine was dating a girl, and he says, you know, you've got to meet her friend. You're going to love her. Her name is Neurotica. And I went, is that a real name? Yeah, it's a real name. Okay, sure. So he keeps trying to force me to meet this girl, right? I finally meet her, and she drove me insane. And you never meet some people who just hit you such the wrong way.
Yeah.
Yes.
I
met someone.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of love at first sight. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't stand you. It was really okay. So I apparently don't get along with the one person I've ever met who's named Neurotica. Fantastic name for her, though. I have to throw that out. It's almost like...
I understand that perfectly. I have actually come across a few people like that.
How interesting. Yeah.
I think when you meet someone like that, you try very hard to push that feeling back. You know, it's like, oh, you know, this is how I feel about this person. Uh-oh. Right. I'm going to really have to work hard because I have to be in that presence for a while. And when that happens, you just, you know, you try to make the best of it, but you're always, like, working. It's always work to be in this person's
presence. Yeah, and then it never ends up going well, though. Have you noticed every time you try to do that, it ends up that you just say, screw it, why did I waste all this time?
Exactly, and they're always mean.
Mm-hmm. My test is, and JT knows that I do this too. Whenever we're talking about working with someone, I want to see how they act around waiters and waitresses, and I want to see how they act around kids and animals. Because if I see them be a jerk to any of those, I already know I don't want to be involved with them. That means they're not a nice person.
Yeah, I just don't like people who ignore me. Or how do you like these people who you're in a group of four people or three people?
Yeah,
and they don't include you in the conversation. They make it look like they're sharing some secret, which they aren't, but they just don't want to talk to you.
I understand.
They're that kind of person.
Yeah, that can be very frustrating as well. Yeah.
Yes, especially if that person is a friend of your friend.
This sounds really specific, Barbara. Is there one person in particular you're trying to talk about? No,
I will not tell you. No. You won't know her anyway. So
I'm kidding. I'm just kidding, Barbara.
It was someone who I had to spend some time with and found extremely irritating. And you know that I really like almost everybody, and everybody usually likes me.
So, yeah.
Very true.
I was like, whoa, this is not a person I want to be around.
Yeah, fair enough.
But anyway, I'm glad you enjoyed the poem, and I just wrote it tonight, and it's dedicated to a friend of mine.
All right.
I won't say who.
Okay, good. I don't want to know. Okay. No, Barbara, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
All right.
Okay.
We'll talk to you next time. Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. I was going to say land of something, but I'm just going to leave it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate that.
All right. Let's go to Sinister in Missouri. Hey, Sinister, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, we can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm right next to the internet. I've read a couple of things, the entire first book of what is published out there. You can buy it on like $5. My first book I ever wrote, The Chronicles of Truth, is a book of poetic verse. I'm going to read you in a second part of it. It's very short, and it's a good time to do it. So this is book two of Chronicles of Truth, the Distrustful Dreams. I have searched many leagues, runaways from many a fight, in the dark now, furiously searching. I'm dreaming. Yesterday I fell in a translucent hole, so tightly they grabbed my throat, gasping water enters my lungs. How crazy is this fucking place? hysteria. I float so softly I masturbate. My feet and arms are weak, numbing, drowning in secretions. I'm saved. One-eyed devil gives me a hand. Temptation. Awakening on a green knoll, a unicorn falls on my face. Symbolism of a lesser kind. Where exactly is my conscience? Struggling. I want to dispose of this cultural essence corrupted. People keep touching my body. Longing eyes stare into the dark. Mounting frustration. I annihilate my feared self-being. Crashing my last remains in a fast car. Love to crash and start meal, injecting my veins. Smack God. So many drugs to control me. He will beat and tear me down. No more! Shiny, silver, steel, sharp and slender, inserting it in his intestine, filled with a license. Wandering. I'm not done on this quest. One or two more souls to take. Parasital rage, still unfettered at one. Need more drugs. Won't come down. Stupid high. I can drive 94 hours. Love to indulge. Chaos quest north. Trying to gain sweet salvation, sacrificial death, those bastards. Not one deserved dignity. No illusion. Pictures of blood-soaked, guilty faces playing wicked empowerment. Where lies life's meaning? Lost feeling. I can imagine fear in his eyes. My mind plays with these thoughts. The gun is clean. Shiny, cold steel. Bullets. Nightmares, and I'm awake. Once again, always. One week now, still no decency of sleep. My nose is dry and irritated. An atomic bomb explodes in my veins. Speed demon. Nothing can stop a deadly thought. Insanity in a backward clutch. Eyes begin to split in the middle. Sirens blare behind me. The lights flashing. Confusion. Damn this all! I will end it. That bastard will hurt her no more. Lying in conscience and gutters. She's always been a stupid slut. Cats and teen mother. These people have all caused me too much. I am her stake, now searching. It only took 2 days. Outstanding. I have grown weary and sore. Quaalude popping. I sleep in deeply rooted convulsions. Eyes and arms twitch. Shiver in pain. So harshly the spike in nurse's hand. I scream and wake in Ivy hospital bed. Overdose of a treated infection. I'm released on a silver flat. The road, once again, my maiden. Pavement and gravel, a tire's feast. Reposition. Torn pages from the phone book. Small town address, rural county, run down cardboard shanty. She drives a beaten 80s wagon. Cleaning eyes. Rotting trees and old garbage bags. Mailbox beaten by adolescent rage. One living dog missing for days. A poverty-stricken town, a disease. I see them. I'm the sniper, vision set on revenge. A silent shot to his head. My sanctuary complete. No fears. I'll let her die on her own. Weak and powerless. Deathly infection. Why do I see tears in her soul? Charcoal bitch shouldn't cry. He hurt her as much as she to me, leaving her in demented peace. Land of disease, broken crown. My wheels smoking, headed north. Escape of past haunting memories. North is where I'll go safe. Mind suspended in nothing but loss. So true. No one ever told me truth or reason. All I ever heard was her rounded bullshit. I'm seeking that special world, that place I can just be my fucked up self. Distorted visions. Finally, after much toil, I reach the maple leaf. And like the coon of wasteful safety, the mission bells chime religiously. I am moron of lesser standards to show. It makes me insensible reasons. I'm afoot on Tiffany's doorstep. While the pain wrenches me from the inside, I lay on embattled riverbeds, so dry. I'm feeling the boiler burn me from the depths. The ascension begins with a plush breath, a chorus song on failing winds, my beginning and end. Bobby Reed. That is it.
Incendiary sin.
Huh?
Oh, it's great, man. Great. Thank you.
Don't forget, Great Space, Amazon. The Chronicles of Truth. Right amongst a bunch of children's books is my deviant adolescent rage book that I wrote when I was 18. I love it.
All right. Appreciate it, man.
Have a good night.
All right. You too. Thanks a lot. And that was Sinister calling from Missouri. That's the third time tonight. Really laying it down. Doing a great job, as always.
I am sorry.
No, you're all right, man. You're good. You're good. You got a lot of things going on over there. I completely understand.
There we go.
All right. Now let's try to go to Mary in Arizona, and let's see how the Skype does here. Hey, Mary, you there? Oh, Mary. All right, if you can hear us, Mary, and we're not responding to you, which obviously we're not, hang up and give us a call right back. Might just be a Skype thing.
You call that very well.
Thank you. I can hear a slight sound through the headphones.
Okay.
All right. And so Mary will be giving us a call. And then after Mary, Mama, if you're listening, it'll be you. But here she is. Mary, are you there?
Don't you do that to me. That's not even my fault.
I know.
No,
it's not.
Definitely not.
And we do not blame you for this.
Do not bring the flame toward me, sir.
I can't help it. It's after dark. Okay, anyway, I don't know what I'm talking about now. All right.
Okay. We're going to do a delightful little erotica. Not anything heavy. Don't get any hankies out or anything.
All right. Too late.
I wrote my own before, but I'm not into that kind of poetry per se right now myself. This is by Algernon Charles. What's his last name here? Swinburne, B-U-R-N-E. He's an English poet.
Okay.
Born 1837, died 1909. Let me see if I can find his lovely poem that I chose, Love and Sleep. Lying asleep between the strokes of night, I saw my love lean over my sad bed, pale as the duskiest lily's leaf or head, smooth-skinned and dark, with bare throat made to bite. Too wan for blushing and too warm for white. But perfect colored without white or red. And her lips opened amorously and said, I wish not what saving one word, delight. And all her face was honey to my mouth, and all her body pasture to mine eyes, the long bliss arms and hotter hands than fire, the quivering flanks, air smelling of the south, the bright light feet, the splendid supple thighs, and glittering eyelids of my soul's desire. And poem. Isn't that gorgeous? I didn't write it. I just read it.
No, that was great. It was great really choice well. And a great read.
Thank you very much.
Of course. Thank you, Mary.
That was a lovely extension, and I look forward to the next After Dark and the next World Poetry Open Mic.
Well, we look forward to it as well.
Meow. Meow.
Yeah, okay.
Scratchy, scratchy.
Scratchy, scratchy, Mary. We'll see you next time.
Till next time, meowie. Let's do the cat. I'm putting my nose in front of my eyes, in front of my fingers, and all of that cat stuff.
And now you sound like Barbara. No, all right.
No.
Right, Mary. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary.
Kisses.
And that was Mary calling from Arizona. I don't even know what.
That was,
all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. Hey, Mama. Mama Oladeji, if you're listening,
please
give us a call.
Now.
We're waiting on you. That's all right.
We'll take it live.
We'll take it live.
There she is. Right on cue. Look at that.
I know. She's good.
That's awesome.
I tell you, she's a pro.
Yes,
she's
a pro.
Hey, Mama.
Waiting on you. All right. We'll take it live. Take it live.
That's what we sound like.
Oh, my gosh.
She's there.
Mama, I'm hearing when you picked up, we could hear ourselves, and now I realize how much like a morning radio show we sound like. I don't know how to feel about that.
No, I did as I cut it off as soon as I called.
You did great. You did great. I appreciate that.
So now you're gonna get the erotic side of your mommy right here.
All right.
And the name of this is called Moon Man, and I gotta put some music with it. Okay, here we go. Moon Man, the time has come for you to love me, make love to me, on me, and as you enter into my buzzing lodge, I welcome you, I bless you in this place. I bless you in this sacred place. So for you, I kept it pure. For you, I waited. For you, I kept it sacred. For you, my moon man, so that you could be natural. No holding back in this place. I have no preconditions. Use your imagination as you go all the way. Elevate your mind. It's our time to be elevated to the highest level of life. My sensual lotions now cover you as you enter my goddessdom. There are no in and out privileges here. Just rest inside of me and pulsate as I meditate and fluctuate. My strong grip, my heart pump to the rhythm of our twin heartbeats. My lock, I lock you down. My lock is tight. I hold you inside of me. Then I release you to be free. You took my spirituality to a new height. You raised the cunnilingus level in me as I lie there palpitating. And I thank the deity for not letting me die before I knew what pleased me. I'm allowing you to unlock these secrets inside of me. Hours of gentleness. And then your gentle touch turns rough from the excitement. I need you to calm down. I soothe you. I stroke you with my hand. Movement of my softness. When I drown in your blood, you surround me with your breath. Your breathing, leaving me empowered by your sweet surrender. You trust me. You surrender to my touch. You allow me to weaken you and rebuild you and weaken you and rebuild you again and again until I know you are now with discipline and you have control to find my core. Find my core without giving in to the temptation of instant gratification. It is the gift of your being able to be stable. It brings great reward to both of us, and you have raised my levels so high and heaven on earth is where I now reside. When you are inside of me, when you are inside, you therefore have taken me to the highest peak that could ever be reached on earth. You are my moon man, my moon man. I have orbited the moon and I'm back again. And at this point, you still carry on. You do not unburden yourself, my physical extremities. I'm good to go. You're connected to my center core. My cunnilingus has orbited the moon, my moon man. My water level is risen to a scarier. Fantasy should never take you there. I scream my beastly noises unrecognizable. I now lie back in the present. You have liberated my G spot, my center core, the only line that connects this world to our first world. My moon man, you are puffed with pride. Now you lie by my side, and we bring it slowly back to earth as we are now prepared to save the rest of the world. My hero, we testify and teach. Oh, my king, I have served you manna from my heaven, and you have given me one of life's true pleasures. As I have arrived and I live to tell the story, and let the divinity of arousal be known. Let the divinity of arousal be known, for it is the greatest gift and tool to heal the world. This is dedicated to my moon man and to all of the moon men that I'm helping to inspire more to learn the art of arousal.
Chihuahua. Really enjoyed that, Mama. Thank you.
Well, I'm putting out the challenge for all you young men to learn the art of arousal. It's not always about sex.
Damn it. Really?
No. All right, then. That's my piece, and I'm sticking to it.
All right. I love it. Right. I love it. Thank you, Mama. Really appreciate it. We'll see you next time. And that was all right. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from the land of Ohio.
It's a great piece.
You know, I hear they give you jazz flutes when you move to Ohio.
What?
Yeah.
I'm moving to Ohio.
No. Oh. We're not going anywhere near those jazz flutes.
You sure? Yeah. Okay.
Well, I don't know, man. Maybe that's your thing.
Probably not. I've already done a woodwind once.
I tried it once too. It's just not. You know, every time I get a tin whistle, I'm serious though. Even though it's not officially a wooden, I get pretty good at it. And then the next thing I know, I start thinking, oh, yeah, wearing a green cape's a good idea, you know, and sure, I'll go. And the next thing I know, I'm walking around dressed like a hobbit playing the theme from Lord of the Rings. It's really embarrassing.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for sticking around for After Dark. That does it for After Dark. That does it for our whole broadcast for the evening. Thank you, everybody, for coming, spending your Friday night with us. We know there's plenty of other things you could be doing. And we look forward to seeing you next time with an edition of Studio X and a bit of a tribute to Mr. Tom Petty. Until then, from Half Squatch, from Ursa, from Novia, from Andy, the intern, thank you very much. Have a great night. Keep writing.